When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Thursday, July 20th. The Is My Daughter Depressed edition? I'm Zach Rosen. I make another podcast. It's called The Best Advice Show, and I'm dad to Noah, who is 5, and Ami, who's 2. We live in Detroit.
I'm Jamila Lemieux, a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding Parenting column, and mom to Naima, who is 10, and we live in Los Angeles.
I'm Leslie Cohen-Ruberry. I am a therapist, and I have a private practice and a podcast called Is My Child a Monster? It's a parenting therapy podcast. I have 3 adult children, Travis, who is 36, and twin girls who are 33, Dale and Carrie. And I live in Western Connecticut.
Leslie, we are so thrilled to have you with us today, especially because we've got a question that could definitely use your expertise. Our listener is worried that her 9-year-old daughter is depressed and she's not really sure what to do. We'll have some advice for her. We'll also be sharing a round of parenting triumphs and fails. And if you're sticking around for Slate Plus, we'll be talking about the middle school slow dance. Oh my God. Oh God. Is it an important rite of passage? An awkward encounter better left in the past? Is it still even a thing? Here's what you'll hear if you have Slate Plus.
I remember slow dancing exactly once. I can't remember if this was maybe 9th grade. I think it might have been a dance that I went to at a local boys' high school. And this boy asked me to dance, and we danced to Nothing Even Matters by Lauryn Hill and D'Angelo. And that song will always have a soft spot in my heart because of that. I've been wanting to slow dance my whole life. I've done very little slow dancing. So as we put out that call for listeners to try and find me a boyfriend, I need you all to find me someone to slow dance with.
To that song.
Nice.
That's going to be a full circle moment. For me, it's the massive hit from Casey and JoJo. All my life, I pray for someone like you. You remember that, Jamila?
I do. I hate that song.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just is bar mitzvah dance right there, that song. Not only do you get a whole extra segment each week, but as a Slate Plus member, you'll also get to listen to this show ad-free, no interruptions. We know as parents, you get enough of those already. It's also what we do to keep the lights on around here, so please join us if you can. You can sign up for Slate Plus now at slate.com/momanddadplus. All right, we're going to catch up on our week in parenting as soon as we get back.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Jamila, how's it going over there?
It is going fine. Naima and I were reunited after about 10 days apart. We've been bonding. It's been really nice. About 3 years ago, former Mom and Dad Are Fighting host Dan Coyce recommended a game called Boom Blastics. He said it's the most fun. His family loves it. I ran out and buy it, and it completely freaks a then 7-year-old Naima out. So the way you play Boom Blastics is that there are these little, I don't even know what's described, and they're sort of shaped like boomerangs, but they connect, and then you pile them up. And the object of the game is to pile as many of them up as possible before they go boom, right? Because okay. They can pop, and it's loud, and they go flying everywhere, and it terrified Naima when I got it. And so 3 years later, we pulled the game out last night. She says, I think I'm ready.
Oh, I love it.
And she was not ready.
Oh.
I am pretty good at the game. So, you know, I played for a while and let her watch me. And then they all went boom. And she was like, nope, enough of this.
What is this? What does it sound like?
Just a popping sound.
Like a firecracker?
Yes.
Okay. And it's pretty loud?
It's like, pretty loud. And so like...
The little plastic pieces themselves make the sound?
Yes. And so when one piece opens up and like triggers all the others, they all go flying. They all open up. And they can hit you.
Yeah, it's very uncontrollable. And someone who likes to be in control and... does not like surprises would not like this game.
Yes. It did not work for Naima. I said, you want to try again when you're 12? She said, yep.
But do you recommend this game? Sounds like you're into it.
I think it's a kind of fun game. It's for players ages 6 and up. So there are smaller kids that can play this game, you know, without problem. But Naima is not one of them.
Yeah, like I love Jenga. If I like Jenga, will I like Boom Blastics?
Yes, it's in the tradition of Jenga.
There's another game called Chairs that I used to play with kids in therapy so that they could practice making a mistake and all of that. It's the same thing. You're piling up these chairs and they collapse because it's not easy to build them. So it makes a noise. Those are great games.
I don't think this is a failure, though. You tried it?
We tried it.
Yeah.
So it's good. It's adventurous of you. Leslie, what's going on in your world? Do you have a triumph or fail for us?
Well, it was a triumph, and it's really recent because at 1:30 last night, my husband wakes me up to some flapping sounds in the hallway. The backstory is that we have chimney swifts that come and live in our chimney. They nest in our chimney every year. They've been doing this for about 15 years.
What is a chimney swift?
Thank you. A chimney swift is a kind of bird. I don't know much more to describe except that it lives in chimneys, and it's fantastic because they eat the insects and they're flying around all evening and all day eating mosquitoes and stuff. So they're wonderful and they are protected. That much I know. They're protected and they're really cool. They don't perch on a branch. They have this kind of saliva glue that helps them stick to the inside of a chimney.
I'm looking at them right now. They have this kind of micro beak. They're kind of weird and cute looking.
Yes. Yes. And they're dark and they make real pretty sounds. Well, in our chimney, they are noisy. They flap, whoa, 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 and they and they chirp, and we just have a house full of noise. I mean, we have empty nesters, but we are not empty nesters because we have the chimney swifts. Anyway, one fell down the chimney last night. And at 1:30 in the morning, I was using the technique of putting a little towel to calm it down when you catch it. And then that's how I transported it outside, sent it back out. It was an adventure. So
how long did it take you to get it out?
It felt like a while, probably only took about 3 to 5 minutes, but it was flying around before it landed and I could catch it. Yeah, the cat was petrified, even though you think cats would have fun with that activity. But the cat came running in the room and said, get me out of here. So, it wasn't too bad. And it was, you know, quite the adventure. And so it was a triumph to get it out and hopefully get
Mazel
it back
tov.
Up its nest. Thank you.
Zach, what's been going on with you?
I mentioned months ago that we were starting to try to get Ami off the pacifier. We call it a motzetz. That's what they call it in Hebrew, his motzetz. And... like he was doing really well for a while. he got off it completely at daycare, so he was just using it at night for a time, but then like he got sick, so he was using it at night and in the car, and then he went on vacation, so he was using it at night and in the car and during the day and during breakfast and during lunch and everywhere he freaking went, to where like I forgot what his face looked like because it was just a massive, profound Motsetz relapse. And we were on vacation, as I mentioned last week, for a couple weeks, and from the beginning of the vacation until we got home, led by my wife, but I was super involved as well. We were telling Ami, all right, Ami, when we get home, we are going to give, we talk, what we do is we give the motzetzes away to the squirrels. That's because the squirrels need them. I don't know how we got that idea, but like we need to give the motzetzes away to the squirrels. So every day on vacation, we were saying, have it now, but when we get home, what are we going to do? And eventually he was like, give it to the squirrels. So we were really consistently trying to prepare him. I was probably more nervous than he was. And we got home from vacation now 10 days ago. And we put them outside on the curb for the squirrels the night we got home. And that first night was really freaking hard. He was crying for them. It was like he was a newborn again, you know, just that like won't go to sleep, screaming. And I was very close to giving in. But like, we persisted that first night. The second night was somewhat easier. Third night easier than that. And now 10 days later, our guy's off.
Oh, wow. Yay.
Congratulations.
It's a big deal. We're really proud of him. He's not even like talking about him anymore. So they were a huge part of his life. Like, you know, if one fell in the middle of the night, I would like, you know, he would scream and I would like have to get up and go like find it under the bed. And it was a whole thing. And we're past that phase. So big time triumph for my guy.
That's great.
It's very exciting.
Yes.
Well, on that note, we're going to take another quick break. See you back here for our listener question.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.
Talking about money can be so hard, especially when the person you're talking to is still learning how to do long division. That's why Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace, is here to help. I'm Bridget, and with my fellow co-host Ryan, we help teach your little ones about complex topics like bankruptcy, climate change, and why there's so much gold at Fort Knox, and so much more. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. Let's hear today's listener question.
Dear Mom and Dad, my almost 9-year-old daughter seems depressed. She's always been very reactive to the littlest thing. She leads with anger and says she's sad and mad a lot, or that no one understands. Over the past week, she's had 4 screaming fits. They've stemmed from asking her to tidy up, asking her to get off of a screen, not allowing her to have candy, her art project didn't turn out perfectly, that kind of thing. These fits have the whole family hurting and on edge. Here's the thing. She does super great in school and has lots of friend time. She doesn't eat very well nutrient-wise, despite her best efforts. But in general, she's delightful, very engaging and loving, if things go her way. Or if she's entertained by us morning to night, which isn't always doable. She has some elements of OCD, but those are minor, according to a therapist our son saw. I'm going to ask our pediatrician about therapy, though my daughter always said she'd never speak if I brought her to talk to someone, and has always refused all medicine and vitamins, except gummies. But I'm going to try anyway. Has anyone gone through something similar? Really hoping for help today. Feeling defeated.
Jamila, what do you think? You've got a daughter this age.
Yes, and I've gone through, am going through some of this. Naima's been in therapy for a couple of years now, and we're still searching for some answers for some of her behaviors, and we're dealing with anger issues, and it can be really scary. So I'm sorry that you're going through this. You totally have my complete empathy, because I know. And all you want is for your little girl to be happy. It's going to be really important for you to get her some therapy. You know, I'm a big fan of the A Kid's Book About series for explaining difficult topics to young children. And they have one called A Kid's Book About Therapy. Kids are ready. And it helps make therapy less scary and, you know, explains what kids can expect from therapy. And it, you know, sort of demystifies the process of what happens when you talk to a therapist. So I would recommend getting a copy of that. It's pretty widely available. But making sure that you don't let her disinterest in therapy dissuade you all from finding one. And if you find the right therapist, they'll be warm, they'll be friendly, you know, your daughter will want to talk to them.
Is there a frame that you use when you talk about therapy with Naima in a way that doesn't like stigmatize?
She knows that I'm in therapy and her father's been in therapy, so she sees it as sort of a normal thing. So luckily we didn't have to worry too much about the stigma with her because, you know, it was just something she saw the adults in her life doing.
Yeah. What do you think, therapist Leslie?
Yeah, I was going to jump in. Okay. I appreciate that you were talking about supporting the mom, saying that this is really difficult because we all want the best for our children. And it's a great place to start. I'm going to slightly add a different pathway, which is helping the parents. You are at home living with the child. I agree that a child can get help, and I love your suggestion for how to demystify therapy and educate her on what therapy is all about. But I would look at it, and you'll understand why, since I have a parenting therapy podcast, because I really believe that children go home and have to live at home with their parents. And in this letter, we hear that the child does great in school, great with friends, and challenging at home. And that is not because the parents are doing anything wrong or failing in any way. That is not the assumption I would make. It's that the children, like all of us, we let down our hair and we show those parts of ourselves where we feel safe enough to be loved,
right.
And we show those parts. And you can learn strategies for understanding your child, because I think what's underneath that depression, what's underneath that anger, is a highly sensitive child. Maybe a child who doesn't want to make a mistake. Maybe a child who sees the world as unfair. But out of her own words, she said, or at least the mom's words, that the daughter doesn't think that the parents understand her. So I really like the idea of helping parents understand their child.
Yeah. So what are some things that these parents can do to help?
Okay. So if I were to give a few little strategies, we know real estate is location, location, location. For making sure our children get heard, it's validate, validate, validate.
Hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's letting your child know, because we all have the urge, as you said, to fix our children, to make them happy. But if we acknowledge that they're struggling, if we acknowledge that this may not be fair, be real with them, right? Be real with your child. Like, you are having a fit because you're mad that I said no to you. I asked you to do something and you're really pissed at me. So be real with your child, but validate what you think they are experiencing, especially if you understand that they are sensitive, that asking them to do little things is a big deal. Our children are not manipulating us, you know? So there's a whole way to learn about validation. Very important. But yes, there's words that we can say to reflect back that we understand them. And even to say, hey, I don't get what's going on. Can you help me understand? I bet you don't understand why you're throwing that tantrum. Let's sit down and get a drink of water, maybe take a break and come back and figure out what we'll work together to figure out what's going on. So validation is acknowledging what's happening. You may not have the answers as to what's happening, but hey, I can see you're having a tantrum and that you are upset with what's going on.
So like, all right, they give the example of they asked her to tidy up and she freaks out.
Right.
What's an example of a way to validate there?
Okay, so if she's freaking out, I would say, it feels really invalidating. I might use that language with her. It feels really invalidating that I just asked you to clean up. Okay? She'll say yes, because I was reading my book and you're asking me to do something. Or you might say, you must have a very good reason for not wanting to clean up. And then she'll say, again, it may be another way to get to the same thing. Yes, because when you ask me to clean up, I can never do it good enough. And if I can't do it good enough, then you get mad or I get mad. It's like, wait a minute, we didn't, you know, there's so much going on inside our children. And so the validation is just to give them a pause and help everyone figure out what's going on. Misbehavior is a form of communication. It's giving us information if we slow down and ask, what is this misbehavior trying to tell me?
I always wonder, like, when to try to have that introspective conversation with them. How do you kind of make sense of timing?
Right. Well, we definitely want to realize that when the child's having the tantrum, it's really, that's their emotion mind. And that is when they are intense and the emotions are flaring. Not the best time to try to problem solve and figure it out. We usually make things worse because, A, we get caught in that fire. So now we get upset, right? So if we can say, okay, I just asked you to do something. That was really upsetting. I'm going to give you a moment, give you some space, and I'm going to come back and ask it again, but we're going to try this again. So that I acknowledge that you're in emotion mind. We don't need to discuss it right now. You can just wait and say, I can see that you're, you know, you need to scream. You know, let me know. It's not working for me for you to scream at me. So I can come back, give you a moment, and we can try this again, or we can approach this in another way. So there's a lot of different ways to begin to try to look at misbehavior with a new perspective. Not just, she's an angry child and she has to stop being angry. Rather, what's going on that's making her angry?
Right.
When we look at misbehavior differently, as opposed to, why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to the family? You must have a very good reason for is a really great way to get to that misbehavior, understanding it.
I have a macro question for you, Leslie. You've been practicing for 37 years. Do you find that kids are more depressed now than they used to be?
I find when anxiety is untreated, it often leads to depression. That's not the only cause of depression, but I see a lot of that lately. So I believe there's a huge intake, not just I believe, the numbers and the research are showing that we have an epidemic of anxiety. So yes, we have more anxiety, and I never saw this amount when I started out 37 years ago.
So to answer our listener's question, has anyone gone through something similar? Yes.
Yes.
Lots of us. It's very normal, right?
It's very normal. My daughter, Dale, it says that she made me the therapist I am. She was this child to a T. It was really challenging. The whole family would not make sense of it. And her twin sister, who went to school with her and saw all of her friends, said, Dale's the perfect kid. Dale's the best. And she'd go, oh, my God, they do have no idea what I go through at home. You know, if they're siblings, then those other children are dealing with it, too, just like Dale and Carrie had to work out their relationship. And that was tricky as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you are not alone.
How do you suggest that this family gets their child ready for therapy, considering that she's resistant to it?
Right. Well, the first thing to say is, you know, again, validate. I hear you telling me that you're going to go to therapy and not talk. I might say, that's okay. That's the therapist's problem, not yours, not mine. You're protecting yourself by going and not speaking. Let's start there. You go for 3 sessions. And I would like to have this conversation again with you after you do 3 sessions, maybe in silence. That therapist will get a workout. That therapist will get a real workout. And let's see what happens. So make it the therapist's problem, not your daughter's problem. That's one way.
The parent also mentions their daughter getting upset when their art project didn't turn out well. Is there some art-centered thing that you give as homework or just like some kind of activity involving, you know, kids being able to kind of, you know, look, not have to look at the therapist and mold a piece of clay or something?
A lot of therapists will, who work with children, will have the gadget toys, the drawing, the activities. I often, for depressed children, I will take a walk. Fortunately, I live in a place where we can walk and talk. I also have a dance studio, so we put a quarter in the middle of the studio and we bounce a ball back and forth. We have to remember that children don't learn unless they feel safe. She's basically telling the parents, I don't feel safe going to a therapist. right? And so, you know, doing things that speak her language, which is playing or drawing, whatever is the language of that child. It might be walking. I have a bonfire outside my house because I have a home office. We might make a fire. Like when I work with kids, I speak their language. That's how we begin. And believe me, you get just as much therapy done sitting around a bonfire, taking a walk, playing a game of, you know, while bouncing a ball back and forth. These are really good ways of creating that safe environment where someone can learn and someone's willing to talk. Be vulnerable.
Well, depressed daughter, thank you so much for writing to us. Good luck. And if anyone out there listening has advice to offer, you can always share it at momanddad@slate.com or leave us a voicemail at 646-357-9318. And that's our show. Please subscribe, leave us a rating and a review, and tell your friends. Leslie is going to be back with us on Monday to answer more of your questions, so don't forget to tune in. This episode of Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by Rosemary Belson and Maura Curry. Shasha Leonard is the voice of our listeners. Alicia Montgomery is VP of Slate Audio. For Leslie Cohen-Rubery and Jamila Lemieux, I'm Zach Rosen. Thanks for listening.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.